After we've seen those field trials, I'm going to move on a little bit to the lab work we did on using the anti-pathogenic nematodes controlling the subterranean termites. Okay, this is what I'm going to go through. I'm going to just talk briefly about anti-pathogenic nematodes and termites and materials methods and our results. So what is can I go back? So what is entomopathogenic? Oh, okay, this is an old question. It's arthropod pathogen. Why we call it arthropod pathogen? Because we have successful stories with using nematodes on scorpions. So that's not really considered insect. And the nematodes kill prey with the symbiotic bacteria injected into the host, which they carry through generations. And the Theranematidae and the Heteroraptidae are the established biological control agents. This is a picture about the life history, which is partly inside the body, the insect body, and part outside the insect body host to finish their life history. And different families of nematodes are strictly associated with different species of bacteria symbionts. The Heteroraptor is always with the Photoraptor species, and the Sternomatidae is always with the Xenoraptor species. The termites, over $3 billion damage to wooden structures, including papers and other things annually, and subterranean termites account for at least 80% of the losses. This is the species of termite that we have in Arizona and Southern California. It's the Heterotermia aureus. It is a subterranean termite. It's a very small, tiny termite, and it's considered a very dangerous pest species. The distribution is only pretty much restricted to the Southern California and Arizona as the Sonoran Desert. Okay. The termite Heterotermia aureus we collected are from the blue dot on the map. It's the experiment. It's a Santa Rita experiment, belong to the University of Arizona. And the nematodes we used in our experiments are the four species: Theranema capcapsi, Phaltii, Rheobrof, and Heterorhabditis bacteriophora. And just to emphasize, these four species of nematodes have different host finding strategies. The capcapsi is a typical ambushing, and the bacteriophora is a typical cruising. The other two are kind of intermediate. And this is the lab construct of the of our arena. It's what we were, because we know the nematodes are repellency to the termites, so we're trying to determine what is the threshold for repelling. So we construct this with two petri dishes at the same size and connect them with the clear tubing. So we introduce the termites in one side and the nematodes are already on the other side before we introduce the termites. And for the construction of the arena, we have 100 termite workers introduced, and the nematodes, based on the pre-trials, we know at 10,000 nematodes per device is very highly repelling. So we come up with this 1,000 up to 10,000 levels of nematodes per device to test the threshold. And this is a 14-long total experiment. Based on the results from the previous one, we trying to comparing the mortality caused by the nematodes to the termites as a repel or non-repel. So once we decided the threshold, we give one up the threshold and one below to test the termite mortality. And for this, we also, again, we have 100 termite workers, and the nematodes are one above and one below. This whole setting is this exact the same with the first one, but terminated at 3, 7, and 10 days respectively, just to give the nematodes enough time and termites enough time to move around and see how the nematodes are working on the termites. So this is just a picture. This is a sandy loam from the Sonoran Desert. We autoclave the soil and make up to 10% wheat. 10% wheat by wheat moisture level. So for the results, this is a busy chart, but this is the nematodes dose causing the repellency effects on the termites. You can see different color bars representing different species of nematodes, and there is no repellency below 2,000 level on either on any of the nematode species. At above 4,000, you can start to see the repellency at above 4,000 all the way up, and it varies from only one day on the Sternema faulty eye to 11, I think it's 8 days. 8 days is the longest on the Heterorhabditis bacteriophora. So this the y-axis is the mean number of days of the repellency. And this is the percent termite mortality for the first experiment. This is the 14 long experiment. After 14 days, all the devices are taken apart and counted termites mortality. And we can see real brav is causing the highest mortality among the four nematodes. And faulty eye is kind of the same with bacteriophora. Carpocopsy is in the middle. It's causing about 30 to 40% on carpocopsy, but real brav is always over 60%. And this is an even busier slide. We can just show this is the carpocopsy for the second set of experiments after 3 days, 7 days, and 10 days in the arena with the termites, the percentage of mortality. And there are a set of two bars on each date. The one on the left side is smaller, is the one below the repellency threshold, and the one on the right is the one above. So this just to show you the carpocopsy cost of about 20% on the 7 days level, and there's nothing on the 6,000 level for the first 3 days because the termites were repelled. And this set of four pictures are showing the four different species of the nematodes. You can see the real brav has the higher bars, which means higher mortality. And this is the top is the 80%, so the real brav is again, if they interact with termites, they're always higher mortality. And the real brav, the Sternema faulty and the bacteriophora are kind of the lower causing pathogen species. And after the lab works, we're trying to bring out this to the field. And in the field, we have the stations outside in the desert. We have we chose the stations that has 6 consecutive months of infestation of termites in the field, and we apply the nematodes at 2 different rates. And the termite activity and the numbers of termites are recorded 0, which is a pre-count, and 1, 2, 4, 8 weeks after the treatment. This is still ongoing. We haven't really finished all the experiments yet, so we don't have the results. But for the we're at the 4 weeks level, the 4 weeks count now, and we can see is the nematodes really. You can see repelling the termites away, or they just kill the termites, but there's really low activity of termites, close to none. So that's it. Thank you. Any questions?
We have about 2 minutes for questions.
Yes.
What do you think is causing that repellency?
I think it's because of the moving of the nematodes. That's I don't really think it's a chemical effect. I think it's rather than the physical, because the nematodes are moving, so the termites would think they're big earthquake in that area. We're not walking in there. Yes.
You said you were at the 4 week field trials right now.
Yes.
In December, and that's the normal, very low peak of seasonal activity. So how are you going to assess the seasonal effects of foraging versus the effects of the nematodes?
Because we have 3 years of data from previous years at the same station that we chose, so we can always go back to those data comparing the termite activity to the previous years. So there are a lot of comparisons, like we can compare the controls to the treatments and the controls of the this year and to the previous years to make sure there's it's not the temperature effect on, or there is the any temperature, but we compare to the previous years. Yes?
Can these nematodes move to the dry soil if they need moisture?
Well, they definitely need moisture. If it's too dry, it's probably not good for the nematodes. Yes?
Soil temperatures do you need for the real brav?
Real brav is a pretty high temperature adapted species of nematodes. So in the lab, as we tested before, the lowest is 20 to 18 to 20. Below that is not really working well. And 30 degrees Celsius is actually, 28 to 30 is actually the optimum for real brav.
I think we have to stop it there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.